interviews.
No, it's fine.
Tony, first of all, explain what exactly the situation is here at Barnet.
We've given notice to all the staff to say, look, as it stands, we feel the season's over. Maybe there'll be some more games later on, we don't know, but we feel the season's over. And under the circumstances, we've got no income. We can't support extensions to your contracts. And, you know, we're giving everybody formal notice. In some cases, that's a month's notice. In others, it's 3 months' notice. We've even got some that are 6 months. So, but we just had to serve notice on everybody. It may change depending on what the leagues decide to do with the season. Of course, we were hoping on promotion, which would have saved everybody. But you need to appreciate we have a unique set of circumstances here. In the first instance, we've had a lot of games postponed. So we have still 7 home games to play, which is nearly double everybody else, which means that we've had barely any income in the whole of January, February and March. Because we've had rearranged games, we've had half the crowds we would have had in the games we did have. On top of that, we're on our last year of funding with EPP, and the leagues informed the academies that they advised them all to stop playing and to stop training. So they on Friday announced they were all stopping. And actually, I hadn't even known that the leagues had taken that decision. So it all happened without consultation with us. So that was the second thing. We knew that EPP would come to an end for us completely unless we got promoted. And the third was our parachute funding, which was also finishing this season. So whatever happens for next season, we were going to have to relook at how we run the club anyway. So
you're talking about going part-time?
We've really thought about that. You know, there is a squad budgeting rule within the National League that says how much you can spend on your team. And we've been trying to work out how we can run a full-time team based on those numbers. And again, another unique set of circumstances here is that we have a leisure facility, a very valuable leisure facility, that produces income, which sustains our football clubs. So, for instance, you know, the banqueting we have here generates capital that goes into the team. But of course, now we've got the mass gathering advice from the government that creates a problem there. The restaurants and bars here, which are open, you know, we're open 7 days a week here from 6 a.m. till midnight, and the bars are open later. But of course, bars and restaurants have been closed now. So all our leisure income from whatever source we know will be complete, you know, severely limited, if not gone completely, over the next 2 or 3 months. So we've just been realistic. What I won't do is promise, you know, we're an honourable club. If we owe you money, we will pay you. Or we will do everything we can to make sure we pay our creditors. And whether that's the pie man or the programme man, we're not going to let you down. And so there's no point carrying loads of debts or loads of staff knowing we don't have the money to pay them and then turning round and going, oh, well, we haven't got the money to pay you. Sorry, can we pay you in 6 months? We pay our debts. So the step we took was to say, in the first instance, we must look at ourselves and make the savings wherever we can, as quickly as we can. And in the second instance, we must make sure we have enough to pay all our obligations and to meet our obligations. You know, the one thing people know with Barnet Football Club is an honourable club and we'll do things correctly.
Are we possibly seeing the end of Barnet Football Club right here and right now because of this?
No, it's quite the opposite. I think we've taken steps to ensure the survival of Barnet Football Club, and that's my job, to keep us alive. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it may be that everything gets so bad that nothing survives. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But I know that we are a stronger club because of the action we had to take. And I know it's sad for some people. It's really sad for me. I saw it, you know, pretty much everyone. There's a few I didn't catch, but I literally sat down with each individual and looked them in the eye. And, you know, I've had 4 days of real pain, you know, because it's not nice, but it is what it is, and we've done what we've had to do.
But if everyone's potentially going to be out of this club, made redundant within the next month, 2 months, 3 months, players' contracts, I presume, end at some stage in the next 2 months, what will be left of the football club if and when football starts up again?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, when you say what will be left of the football club, the club is still here.
Yeah.
The facilities are still here. There are...
I meant the team, obviously.
Well, the team was going to change anyway. You know, the fact is, we still had players from the days when we were a league club. And unfortunately, the parachute payments reduce over 2 years. And we're at the end of that. So either way, we were going to have to reevaluate for next season. We took a big gamble this season. We paid a lot of money to keep a full-time, very expensive squad together to go for promotion. And I think, you know, there was a good chance we might have done it. But you know, like I say, it's very unfortunate for us. The whole circumstances have been very unfortunate for us. We gambled on promotion. Our season's been curtailed. What can I do?
Just two final questions. First of all, you had a great cup run last year and you also sold a player for £500,000 in January. I mean, does that not help? Because other teams were sort of, we didn't even have a good cup run. I mean, obviously last year you beat Sheffield United and then had two games with Brentford.
Well, obviously we factored last year's money into this year's budget. So last year, the cup run, that was how that part funded while we had a push this year. As for the sale of the player, I mean, you know, that the payments for that are instalments over 4.5 years. So we've actually had, you know, in real terms, we've had £50,000 so far. And we actually have spent that on a striker we brought in to strengthen the squad. So all the money that comes in ends up back on players. It always has done, it always will. You know, we are a football club. We all work our butts off, actually, to get every penny we can into the team. Now, I know some would argue that money hasn't been spent as wisely as it might have done once it's got to the team. And I have to say, sometimes I shake my head at some of the decisions too. But, you know, you let the football people make the football decisions and hopefully they make the right ones and you get promoted. We've had a bad spell over the last 2-3 years where the right decisions haven't been made. And I know in some cases supporters kind of blame the chairman for that, but believe it or not, I don't sit there with looking up the stats of all the players to decide who we should be signing today or tomorrow. You know, a manager will come, tell me who they want to sign, I'd look them up, I'd give my opinion, but ultimately they'll make their decision. And then you've got the problem, of course, when it's a bad decision of, do you try and bail them out by letting them bring yet another player? And what if I'm guilty of anything? I've just been too supportive. If I look over the last 2 years, probably eight out of 10 of the players we signed, I've said I don't think that would be a wise idea. And it's easy in hindsight. But, you know, we are where we are. We've got a pretty reasonable team together now, and they're starting to push back up. But like I said, the season's been curtailed. As always, it's the staff who suffer because the players will always get their money. The PFA wraps their big fluffy blanket around them and make sure they all get paid and looked after. And I'm sure, you know, that's just the way it goes. But everyone else has to suffer. And that's what we do. We just take our medicine and we get on with it.
Finally, lots of other clubs in the National League and below are probably looking at you right now thinking we're a day, a week, however long away from having to make the same decision. So have any other chairman contacted you in the last 24 hours to offer support and ask how you go about doing this difficult thing of basically sacking everyone at your club?
Yeah, I mean, I hate the word sacking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard. Some people knew their jobs was coming to an end anyway. But for some people, you know, a small percentage, it will feel like a sacking, I suppose. But I don't like that term because, you know, sometimes people haven't done anything wrong, but if they're relying on you to give them money to pay and feed their children and the money's not going to be there, do you keep them on knowing you can't pay them, or do you actually say, look, we're not going to have the money, and bring it to an end now so they can find an alternative? And I figured the second was the better, more important thing to do. But it's hard. You know, as far as other clubs are concerned, I can't tell you the number. You know, obviously I've represented a number of clubs for a number of years on boards of the league, the FA, etc. So I know all the chairmen, and I've had a huge number of calls. And the general context is, look, we need to do the same thing, but I'm scared to make that decision now, or I need to find another way to do it that's softer, if I can. But I know I'm going to get, you know, slaughtered in the media and by my fan base and by everyone locally when I make that decision. How do I go, you know. So you can understand what their concerns are, because the best fans you'll find in the country are actually in the boardrooms of your clubs. The fact is, most of them give their lives for nothing, their heart. They put everything into it. Everything they've earned doing their job they're good at goes into their club. And most of them will fail, unfortunately. Football, you know, there's only one Liverpool that's at the top of the league. So, you know, it's not possible for everyone to be a winner. And then when you fail, nowadays with social media, which is really, really, really harsh, you get some horrible abuse. It's horrible. And so I sympathise with them, you know, to give up everything you got to try and support your local club just to get beaten up when it goes wrong. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, I've been doing it 26 years, so I've got a little bit of a hardened skin. But we are all sensitive, really. It's not nice, especially when you've got kids and you've got family. As far as I know, this virus is not picking anybody out. It's there for everybody. And obviously those who are weak and vulnerable, the elderly, are in a worse position than everyone. So at least most football people, you know, most people playing the game, quite healthy. So they're probably the ones who are going to be the lucky ones.
Top man.